Well, I didn't have to roll up my sleeves, but I had to take my sweater off. And it is a tad warm. For me, anyway. Well, this is a day that we remind ourselves that in the end of our life, the best expression of our faith is the way we share the love of Jesus, by reaching out in love and service to the people around us. And so to be truly the hands and feet of God and the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to a world that is in need of grace and mercy, it can be messy. And to be clear, this message doesn't culminate at the end of this message, because this, in this few minutes, and this is not a challenge that we can take in and just walk away from without responding in some kind of meaningful way. It's a call to action. And I pray that God will give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear God's invitation to join him in serving others. Does anyone remember the television show called Dirty Jobs? No takers on that one? Courtney remembers it. Sharon remembers it. Candace does. Nobody else? Well, it actually ended up on our TV channels this week somehow. And Mike Rowe was being interviewed by someone from part of his explaining where to from here. And Dirty Jobs is made up of 9 full episodes. And when you think about that, 9 seasons is a lot of seasons. And each episode was the same. A worker or a team of workers would take Mike Rowe as a fully involved assistant for a typical day in their work at their work in a field. And Rowe would try to complete the task assigned to him the best he could in the midst of the discomfort, the hazards, the nasty situations that he found himself in. He would find himself in sewers, dumpsters, animal pens, and underwater. He would be covered in mud and filth and liquid and debris. And the mentality of this show was that these were jobs that few wanted to do, but that had to get done. Mike Rowe has been quoted as saying, Dirt used to be a badge of honor. Dirt used to look like work. But we've scrubbed the dirt off the face of work, and consequently, we've created this suspicion of anything that's too dirty. But everyone knows that without someone being willing to take on the difficult, the messy, the challenging jobs of the world, the life that many of us enjoy, would cease to exist. And so just like the show Dirty Jobs, I believe that God is looking for individuals that he can count on to get their hands dirty. Now, Hannah and Poppy have a line that they say, right, Hannah? And we didn't rehearse this, did we? But what is it that you say when you come to Nanny and Poppy's house? We got to get dirty. Fun is about getting dirty and experiencing the messy and the creativeness. We've got to get dirty. And so just spiritually, in the spiritual realm and in our relationship with Jesus Christ that is exemplified every single day, as a follower of Jesus, there are few and far between who are willing in today's church in general to take on the dirty job of being a disciple in a broken world, to love people in the middle of their mess, and to extend care and concern to those who are hurting means that we're going to have to roll up our sleeves. It's not like God had this expectation for us and doesn't give us the blueprint or map to follow. In fact, Jesus came to earth to not just save us from our sin, but also to show us how to live. He came to show us how to roll up our sleeves. And so this morning, Jesus is our example. And we're going to read scripture in a few moments. But there are many reasons people can point to why Jesus came to earth in the incarnation. While Jesus came to earth as a babe in Bethlehem, we could point to the need for a perfect sacrifice. We could point to the people who received healing from him. We can point to the messages of hope that Jesus preached. But I believe the clearest reason we are given for his presence was from his own mouth. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And those of us who grew up in the church may recognize this verse. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus in this verse is speaking to his disciples here, and he's explaining that the goal of this life is not to be on top. And I guess we could add in there, it's not to be seen. The point is not to be the most famous or the most powerful. Instead, service is the goal. Putting yourself last so that you can put others first is what is truly worth our energy. And Jesus demonstrates this by leaving heaven and giving himself sacrificially on the cross. The one person who could have demanded to be served did not. Instead, he served others until death. I'm sure all of us can recount stories of examples of servant-hearted people, of people that we have encountered in our lives that lived by the example of Christ in how he or she served. You can go through those when we would go through lunches and things like that. Sometimes the last person to be served, oh, no, you go ahead. Simple service act, isn't it? No, you go ahead. You were here to be served. You know, the person that would dig and haul and build on whatever project we had to help those in need right alongside of us. A person that was quick to praise others and humble in receiving praise. A person who has set tones for you and I in the way that we serve today. And we know that we can follow that person's example because that person followed the example of Jesus Christ. Not long after Jesus had this conversation with the disciples, he's sitting with them just hours before they would be arrested and put on trial. And they had gathered to celebrate the Passover festival, and the home, which is the remembrance of the blood from the sacrificial lamb back when the Israelites' people were in Egypt. And the homes with blood covering their door frames would be spared death until of their firstborn. And it's an incredible foreshadowing of the sacrifice that Jesus will make on the cross and did make on the cross. And so here they are enjoying their final meal together. And Jesus just shocks the pants off everybody. Look up John chapter 13. John chapter 13. It was time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. And then, some of you know the story, he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. You see, during this meal, I'm sure the disciples did not expect that to happen. It was shocking to them. A basin of water, a towel, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords washing their feet. It certainly took the disciples off guard. The practice of washing feet itself was not at all uncommon in those days. It would have been customary for the homeowner to have the feet of their visitors washed, And this washing was warranted because people had been traveling along the dusty countrysides and dirty countrysides wearing nothing but leather sandals. Their feet would have been dirty and stinky. And what would have been shocking was not that their feet were being washed. What would have been daring and shocking was the fact that Jesus Christ was doing it. And that Jesus knelt down and he rolled up his sleeves and he began to wash his disciples' feet. The washing of feet was a job reserved for the lowest of the low. It was the servant's job within the home to wash the feet of those entering the home. But here's Jesus, the Messiah, come from heaven, name above all names, we sang, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, with a basin full of water and a towel doing a job of a servant. Jesus was serving his disciples physically by washing their feet. But, my friends, it was a greater representation of a greater truth that Jesus was going to serve them by giving up his life for them. The bottom line is that washing feet in any shape or form will cost you something and requires a humble heart. There's many stories that came out of the World War II, and England needed to increase its production of coal. And Winston Churchill called together labor leaders to enlist their support. And at the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade, which he knew would happen, be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. And first he said, would the sailors come? Because they've seen the vital sea lanes open. And then he says, can the soldiers come? Because they've come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Romney in Africa. Next, he says, you're going to see the pilots who have driven the airplanes from the sky. He said, but last of all would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. And someone from the crowd would cry out, and where were you during these critical days of our struggle and in this war? And from the 10,000 throats would come the answer, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. Often the unsung heroes of the dirty work for the kingdom of God are the ones who have their faces to the coal. Jesus had every right to be the one benefiting from the service of others. He was the very presence. He is the very presence of God, of the universe in the flesh. And yet he puts his face to the coal by washing the feet of those he loved. John 13 continues to say in verses 6 to 15, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you can just hear him, Peter, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, so calmly, so patiently, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And then Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well. Lord, just not my feet. And Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. And that is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. And so after washing their feet, he calmly put on his robe. He sat down and he asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash others' feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Peter's question highlights the fact that the disciples did not fully understand what was taking place before them. They still thought this action was about a physical need to be clean, and Jesus wanted to show them that receiving the sacrificial love of Christ in their lives was the way they would be in fellowship with Him, and that replicating this selfless act for others was the way to take part in Jesus' sacrificial work in the world. So Jesus gives a directive to the disciples who were with Him that day. And it's a directive that's applied to us as well. Wash one another's feet. You know, really, the Scripture tells us that it is not an option for those of us who call ourselves the disciples of Jesus. It's part of the deal. And if Jesus is going to be the one we follow on a daily basis, then we got to stay in step with Him by serving those around us. So where do we begin? Where have we begun? How does one begin to serve others? How are you serving others? How am I serving others? Sometimes that service is an indirect service. You might not have any contact with the person, but you are behind the scenes in serving others. As I stand here, I can hear the family services phone ringing. Serving others. Where do we begin? Does it mean that we have to carry the physical basin and towel with us and start scrubbing the feet of anyone that we see or anyone that will allow us? The key is taking the three main emphases from Jesus' message, an example, and finding practical ways to live them out in our lives, staying sensitive to the needs around us. Staying sensitive to the needs around us. Jesus met a need by washing the dust from His disciples' feet. He noticed their physical need. He met it in a practical way. So what are the needs around you that you see? Perhaps it's a single mom in need. Perhaps it's a family struggling with a diagnosis. Maybe, and here it comes, folks, maybe it's an opportunity to cover a few kettle shifts to help raise $165,000 to sustain our programming. When we allow the Spirit of God to keep our spiritual senses awake and aware, we will see the need in the world around us. We're to lay down our pride. Oh, how does pride get in the way? It really does, doesn't it? Jesus' sacrificial act took an incredible amount of humility. Our pride is one of the biggest barriers to us serving. We can often see people serving who don't think like us, act like us, vote like us, dress like us, or as a threat to our status and our popularity. And because it can be a threat, or because it makes us feel uncomfortable, we avoid to do it. But we choose humility. That's what the disciples of Jesus Christ did. They chose humility, and we are His disciples. And we're to step out of our comfort zone and serve the community. And lastly, this morning, service will cost you something. Service will cost you something. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it cost Him. When Jesus went to the cross, what did it cost Him? His very life. His very life. It may cost us financially. It may cost us our time. It may cost us our energy. It may cost us emotionally. But if we are willing to pay the costs, then we'll be able to reap the reward of seeing the world changed for better. Someone once said that if serving is below you, then leadership is beyond you. And this is true. The world needs individuals in the church because that's where we are. We are in the church of God who are willing to roll up their sleeves. And a lot of you are already doing that in different areas of ministry. But we need more people because the need is great to roll up their sleeves and demonstrate the washing of people's feet symbolically in serving others. Our world has changed, hasn't it? That's an understatement. Our world has changed. But the thing that hasn't changed is Jesus Christ. And one of the pastors left a note for himself against a verse in the Bible. It was actually Pastor D.L. Moody. And he wrote next to Isaiah 6 and 8, he says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I'll do. So this morning, as we gather here safely in this place, I am asking, and God is asking us, to join in practically meeting the needs of our community, meeting the needs of the people that we meet, meeting the needs of the hustle and bustle that's going to come, if it hasn't already hit this area. We have many different ways that's how we can contribute as a church family to serve others. And so our prayer is that you will consider to pour yourself out. We don't need to know about it. That would defeat the humility aspect of it too, wouldn't it? Sometimes the quietness behind the scenes, going about, making the phone call to see how so-and-so is doing, going about, sending a card, going about, even volunteering, quietly doing it, day after day after day, lifting every can of beans, lifting, packing every sunshine, every Sunday school kit, which, by the way, our families love. We almost do over 700 Sunday school kits in a month. They don't pack themselves. They don't pack themselves. The food bank bags don't pack themselves. The kettles don't fill themselves. Wish they did, but they don't, you know. And so think about it. Pray about it. Where is it that you can have an impact on people's lives, not just during Christmas, but all year round? It just doesn't stop at Christmas time. Let us be truly his disciples in this day in which we live. We're just going to go back, Courtney, if you don't mind, and go back and sing Jesus' name above all names, because that is truly what it's all about. That's what our ministries, that's what our mission, that's what our service is about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about being his disciple. It's about being his example. It's about doing unto others. Who learned this in Sunday school? Doing unto others as you would have those do unto you. Right? Did I get that right? Yeah. You know, so do unto others. Give. I don't know about you, but the more I give, what's that? The better I feel. Now, that's not always a reason to do so. We give because God has planted in us a desire to give in whatever way. But the blessings that come out of it does make us feel better. It gives us purpose. It gives us satisfaction. It praises God. And so as we sing this morning, I'd like you to stand, because I know it's a little long, I believe. And stand, and let's just worship this morning. Jesus' name above all names. And if God is speaking to you this morning, throughout the week, as you spend time in his presence, you know, the most important thing is that you respond to him. And if this is what God is asking you to do, then say, yes, God, I surrender to you. And this is what I want to do. And if it's something that we need to know about, by all means, we would love to hear from you. So let's just sing this together this morning.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, yes, Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed be.